I was American born, and I'll die in America.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Monday Night History Show with your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis. And I'm your co-host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Now, before we get on with tonight's show, I need to read our disclaimer for those of you new just tuning in to us. The views and opinions expressed on the Defender's radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. Now, with that being said, welcome. Broadcasting to you live from New Jersey. And I would also like to put out there, I lost a good brother, fellow veteran, David McCutcheon. May you rest in peace, brother, until Valhalla. Hooyah, bro. Also, for those of you new just tuning in, we have a website, all lowercase letters, www.defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two small I's, .com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% proceeds from sales from our store and any donations we take in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So by all means, people, please purchase something from our store or hit that donate button. Every penny helps. Help us to help you and your communities when disaster strikes or shit hits the fan. We're also on MeWe. If you click on organizations, scroll down to Defenders 7 Humanitarian American Patriot Group. Or you can reach us on our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. That's Defenders, Roman numeral V as in Victor, with two large I's. Now, before you hit that donate button, or I'm sorry, before you hit that join button, just know that we expect all of our members and our future members to participate throughout everything we do here in the Defender 7. That's training for disaster reliefs, meet and greet, which is a face-to-face meeting, get to know who's in your community and who you can trust, who's got your six, which is who's got your back at all times, who you can count on. Now, if you get in and you find it's not something you want to do, you can always leave. No hard feelings. I also like been on our past few weeks' shows. I've been pushing a cold case that I've been working along with our sister company, We Can Bring You Hope. And that's on a, out of Spotsylvania, Virginia, on Caitlin Atkins. Mysteriously disappeared when she was supposed to be headed back to college in Arizona. Never made it. So all my Spotsylvania or any surrounding Virginia area people, help get the word out. You can find flyers to share or to company on Facebook by just typing in WCYH. WCBYH. This family gets some closure. I really appreciate everybody that listens to us. And I am now going to bring on your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis. And we also have our captain from Wisconsin, Miss Lorna Slacker Munson.
Hello.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey. Oh, how's it going?
Good evening. I need a nap.
It's hot. It's hot. It's like 80 degrees in my house. I'm dying.
It's not
I want
hot
the cold
here.
Weather back.
Huh? Only 43 here. It's only 43
I
here.
I wish. I hate the heat.
I hate the cold.
I hate both, but I prefer like in the 70s, low 70s, high 60s. Perfect. Good.
I like the 90s.
We're never going to find that shit. So, before we get started, any birthdays or anniversaries? Anybody?
Not that I know of.
I'm sorry. I've kind of been out of the loop.
I know. But if anybody that wants to hear or they know that someone likes to hear their name, my kids usually do, give us a call or send us a message and we'll tell them happy birthday or whatever. You know. So the other thing... I've been having this discussion with somebody else, she's got me thinking now. We were talking about warning labels, and with everything that's going on with this generation of stupidity, she had made the comment, remove the warning labels off of everything for 6 months, and nature will run its course, and we won't have to worry about them anymore. So, find the dumbest warning label on a product that should be a no-brainer. I brought up the hair dryer warning. Do not use in the shower. Seriously, you're in the freaking shower. Why would you be using a hair dryer? So, and there was somebody else that had this funky curling iron. And it's to make your hair spiral. And there's no, you know, how no most curling irons that has that little thing, the lever you push down. And the guy was laughing because he thought she was, I said, dude, no, that's a curling iron. That's not a toy. And I said, but there is a warning label on those for external use only. Because someone did use it that way. So there's always that one person that's going to ruin it for everybody else. So so for tonight, for the history, I got this idea from a movie that I saw yesterday, and it was called The Cookeville Miracle. And it was actually an incident that happened in Cookeville, Wyoming, at the elementary school. The population is like 500, well, at the time in 19, 96, I believe it happened, or 86. Let me get down there. The population was 545 people. So I don't know what it is now. Let me see. It was in 1986. So I don't know if you guys have heard about this or not. At the Cookeville Elementary School, it's pretty much you have kindergarten through sixth grade in one building. Okay, that's it. So a guy named David Young and his wife Doris Young took 154 children and the six teachers and stuff and held them hostage in the first grade classroom. Now, David and Doris did have, or they still do, they do have a daughter, and they don't say how old she is or anything like that. But she found out what the parents wanted to do, she left. So apparently he was the marshal for the town, and he had left. I guess he either got fired, they thought he was crazy, whatever, and he left. So basically, the whole gist of this movie was he had firearms, like, I don't know, like 10 different types of firearms, and he had a lot of ammo, and he had built a bomb out of gas and ammonia nitrate. And I think that's what it was. He had it in a big metal coffee can. And he had, you know, those carts that a lot of older people use when they go to the grocery store, those little square carts that they put all their bags in? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Bobby,
so he had
all the time.
he put everything in the bottom, and then he had the gas set on a rack on top. But he put the gas in a milk jug that he found at the dump. Now, most people know today you cannot put gas in a milk jug. And therefore, that is one of the warnings. People should know that gas eats plastic. But anyway, what makes this one particular instance really strange, the kids started getting sick from the vapors because the gas was dripping on the ammonia nitrate underneath it. And so one of the teachers had convinced him to let him open the windows so we could air out the classroom. And then he wanted the hallway blocked off. He's like, have you ever seen a kid in the bathroom? You know, and so the David Young didn't want the kids to run off, so he had them block the hallway. Now, the unusual thing about this whole thing was one of the little boys was aggravating David Young. I mean, I know you know these kids. You know, just going to push it to the limit. Everything. You know, they don't touch that, and they're going to put their finger like an inch away. Well, that was this little boy. So the same teacher that had convinced him to open the windows, he's like, let's take it and make a magic square for only Mr. David to sit in. And so they put the square, and the kids all, and it was probably 5 foot wide and probably maybe, I don't know, 6-7 foot, you know, in dimension. Well, anyway, he started getting impatient, and he went to the bathroom. He had rigged this bomb that he had a rope tied around his wrist, and if his arm got pulled away, the bomb would explode, okay? When he was in the bathroom, one of the teachers was trying to convince the wife, you know, I don't think you want to do this. And, I mean, it was 2.5 hours that these children – were in this classroom with them. Well, anyway, that one teacher walked away. And so all of a sudden, a bunch of the kids started walking to the windows, you know, to get some air. And the wife pulled something happened, and she pulled the string. And the bomb blew straight up into the ceiling. Now, I don't know if anybody knows this, but bombs don't go up. They go out. And when the bomb experts went in, they said that there's no way that bomb should have not done more damage than what it did. Three of the five blasting caps were undone. And David Young was a bomb expert, and every practice bomb he did worked. The lines, you know, the yellow wires that he used were snipped. Not pulled off, they were snipped somehow. And they were making all kinds of excuses. And so once it exploded, he actually ended up shooting his wife and killing her because she was on fire. So he killed her. And then he went in the bathroom and killed himself. But all of the ammo started shooting from the boxes that it was in. I don't know if anybody knows this, but heat and ammunition does not go well together. So anyway, all of the bullets started ending up in the walls. The amazing thing is only one teacher got shot, and that was by him before he went and shot himself. Not one child was shot from those bullets. Not one. They said that there is no way in hell that that bomb did not kill not one of the 154 students in that classroom. And to this day, they still don't understand it. But there's a lot more to it and what happened and what the kids had seen and everything else. But they said not one hostage situation they've ever seen in the school where nobody got killed. And
I think I've seen that, Joel. That sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah, it's the one.
Didn't they evacuate out the window?
Yeah, they were all being thrown out the window.
Yeah.
Well, not thrown, but you know what I mean. They were all jumping out.
Yeah.
The weird thing is a lot of the adults had a hard time with believing the kids. But here's the thing. None of the kids talked to each other after the bomb went off. When they got outside, and the one, the little boy, you know, after he made this, the teacher made the square. You remember how he kept putting his foot in the square? He was the sheriff's son or deputy, whatever. And each child had seen a member of their family telling him to move away, go towards the windows. And some of these relatives had been dead for decades, some of them a couple of years or whatever. And so the people had a hard time believing that each child had seen it, had somebody from their ancestral line that was there to help protect them from what happened, which I thought it was a really good movie. And the only two people that died was the husband and wife, and they did not charge the daughter or the two guys that went because they didn't want to take part in it. And what should have happened, he said because of that, the gas dripping on the ammonium nitrate, it should have exploded right away, but it didn't. And he said it was supposed to make it look like the air was on fire or whatever, some weird shit, and he said he calculated the time it would take him to die and be reincarnated. So, but he's more like a nut job. But that's all, I didn't want to go over too many. Everyone knows a lot about all the different school disasters. But there's quite a few, actually. But what I wanted to start with...
One just happened in the cities today, yesterday or today. It locked down.
Oh, really?
Nobody got hurt, but a kid started shooting in the school. I don't know what he was shooting at, but he didn't hit anybody.
I can't think of where it was at. Oh, Knoxville, Tennessee, a couple weeks ago had one. But, I mean, here's the thing. Everyone wants to blame it on gun control, this, that, and the other. And you look, and the people that got the guns got them legally for the most part.
And another thing that just happened in the last couple of days in the cities too is one of the mosques got vandalized. They spray painted it saying death to Islam.
Oh, wow. I mean, look, I don't agree with them, but there's no need in you know, vandalizing their property or their church, mosque, whatever. I mean, it's like, don't be stupid. That's all. If you're going to live in America, have your religion, have whatever, but don't be stupid. You know, don't plan on killing Americans just because you hate us. You know, I know some actually pretty nice Muslims that's here in Wichita, and there's not, I've never heard one thing bad about them. But, so the things I found quite a few different things. I just type everything up differently to find all this cool shit. So this first one is 11 shocking moments in history. Now, this is all over the world, and this is some of their shocking moments. The execution of Anne Boleyn, I don't know how to pronounce it. The morning of May 19th, 1536, Henry the VIII's second wife, Anne Boleyn, became the first English queen to be publicly executed, charged with adultery, incest, and conspiring the king's death. Anne was beheaded on a scaffold erected on Tower Green within the walls of the Tower of London. And her death, says historian Susanna Liscombe, is so familiar to us that it's hard to imagine how shocking it would have been to actually see that. Anne and Henry had been married for a little more than 3 years, and he left his seventh wife of 24 years and the mother of his child, and broken with the Catholic Church. By the spring of 1536, however, Henry's affection had waned, and he was hotly pursuing Anne's lady-in-waiting, Jane Seymour. No, it's not the same Jane Seymour, I would say. Along with five courtiers, including Anne's brother George, Anne was arrested and imprisoned in the Tower of London in early of May 1536. Mark Smeaton, William Barrington, Francis Weston, and Henry Norris were tried and found guilty of adultery with the queen. Wow, she was a floozy. And of conspiring the king's death. While Anne and her brother were found guilty of high treason, by May 19th, all six convicted had been executed. And Anne's execution in 1536, Chappies, the Spanish ambassador to Henry's court, wrote, "No one ever showed more courage or greater readiness to meet death than she did." More than today, nearly 500 years after her execution, historians cannot agree why Anne had to die. So, I don't know. Do you think having an affair is warranted of being beheaded?
Boy, no, but they should get the shit beat out of them by the cheating spouse, or the non-cheating spouse, I mean.
I mean, even back then, but still, not to beheaded. I mean, make her live a life in prison, dethrone her, where he was the king. Even though she was the queen, he was the king. It wasn't, you know, it's not her family line. So divorce her, dethrone her, and throw her ass in prison. I don't think she should have been executed. Because even though she conspired to have him killed, it's still, she didn't try. She conspired. Hell, if that was the case today, half our politicians would be executed right now. Yeah. Which, you know,
maybe they should.
by the way, if Hillary Clinton comes up dead of a mysterious illness or a heart attack or whatever, she got executed today. So we shall see. I saw articles, six different ones, that she was in Gitmo and they're doing military tribunals, supposedly. And she didn't turn anything down. She didn't say shit. And it said that Tony Podesta, they all turned. And but you know how they work. That's what happened to Bush Sr. He died. And John McCain, he died of cancer. No, he didn't. He had cancer, but he was executed. And so wasn't Bush Sr.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, yeah. John McCain's daughter came out and said it on, not The View, was it The View? Whatever show she was doing for a while. That's why she was pissed off at Trump, because she had her dad executed. She goes, yeah, I know. You executed my dad. And I thought he really died of cancer. But no, they executed him for high crime.
Wow.
So Randy had shared it in the chat room, and I went and found the article, and I found other ones, and she had 5 days of they had 5 days of military tribunals on her. And so I said, give it time. It's either, they're either going to say she died today of some mysterious thing of COVID or whatever. And if she doesn't, they don't come up and say she's dead, then the article was not real. But it's kind of hard when you have six different, you know, whatever. We shall see. You can only hope for the best. number two they have is the building out of the Berlin Wall. For almost 30 years, the Berlin Wall separated Germany's communist East from the U.S.-friendly West, and it was constructed overnight on August 12th and 13th in 1961. Oh, wow, I didn't know they built it that late. By the German Democratic Republic, East Germany, the wall's official purpose was to stop Western fascists from entering East Germany and undermining the building of a socialist state. In reality, it served to prevent mass defections from east to west. Oh, yeah, so that's why the wall. But the walls don't work now, do they? Theirs did. Berliners awoke on August the 13th to find themselves cut off from family, friends, work, and in some cases, even their homes. And it was now impossible to get from east to west. And the makeshift wall was soon replaced by a 12-foot tall, 4-foot wide reinforced concrete barrier, heavily guarded and with booby traps. Well, Bobby, what were you doing there? Setting your booby traps off.
I cannot confirm or deny.
There was 171 people.
There was free beer there for them.
Yeah. See, not 171 people were killed trying to get over the wall, under it or around it or whatever. And November 9th, 1989, it was torn down by none other than Ronald Reagan. He convinced them to tear the wall down. But the thing is, you see, they shot their people to stop them from climbing the wall. And they think we're inhumane by sending them back to their country of origination. Sure, walls work, and they're there for a reason. The same reason why all these celebrities have walls, to keep you out of their property. So they do work. But it's pretty cool how they had, it started originally as plywood and metal and The German army built the wall, and then they replaced it by a concrete wall. So number three was the sinking of the Titanic. On April 14th, 1912, the supposedly unsinkable RMS Titanic collided with an iceberg and sank on her maiden voyage. Of the 2,208 people aboard, only 712 survived. And it just took 2.5 hours to sink the vessel amid the freezing temperatures. And they're saying that most of the people died within minutes of being in the water. Poor Jack. You know, the least she could have done was let him on top of the door, and maybe he would have lived. I don't know if that person's real or if that was just because of the movie. I have no idea. You know who I'm talking about? Have you guys seen the Titanic?
Yeah.
Okay, you know Jack is. Yeah, I'm just saying I don't think Jack was really there, but the extent of the devastation.
Was he there, Bobby?
What's that?
That was his birthday.
Was Jack there at the Titanic, Bobby?
Or is that
I don't
just
know.
A storyline?
You were serving them.
Well, they didn't even know about the damage until several days later. On April 16th, the Daily Mail's headline read, "The Titanic sunk, no lives lost." The tragedy says Titanic expert Dr. Aidan McMichael was greeted at first with shock and disbelief, and then immense sorrow at the scale of the loss of life. How could a ship dubbed the unsinkable by the media met its end so tragically? Okay, here's the thing. I believe there's a place in Tennessee to go see a replica of the Titanic. I don't know what all they have there, but when I was in Ireland, in Belfast, that's where they made the Titanic. And they showed the sister ship, I forgot what it's called, but they put everybody on the sister ship to take them to the Titanic to get off and get on the Titanic. And even the sister ship that brought people over had everybody by class, first class, upper class, middle class, and steerage. And that's what they called their poor. They called them steerage. And they actually have a massive building, and the port is where they built it, the replica of the Titanic. They actually have it in the same port where the Titanic was launched from. And you go through on this ride, and it shows you, and it actually has voice, them building it, and the sounds, and, the welders and all that cool stuff. They even have luggage that they had found from the wreckage there so you could see it. So lately, with all of these, and I'm going to say conspiracy because I really don't know how true it is. They say the reason why it, besides the iceberg, the white sink, because the guy told, not everyone knows, the guy told the captain to have it wide open. You know, start all the motors or the engines and everything else. What happened was, supposedly, it was too much for the ship. And that's why, I don't know, it's really one of those way out there conspiracies. But they also said it was sank because of the elites that were on the boat or ship, whatever. It's kind of hard to have an iceberg sitting out there in the middle of the ocean. And so that's why I don't really believe that one particular conspiracy. But anywho. So number four is the Great Fire of London. And September marks the 350th anniversary of the Great Fire. And it destroyed more than 65,000 homes, 13,000 buildings, and the Royal Exchange and the original St. Paul's Cathedral. And it started on September 2nd, 1666. Yeah, that's the problem. I'm just so glad we weren't around then. I couldn't deal with that year. At the house of Thomas Farner, the King's Baker, in Pudding Lane. No, mind you, Pudding Lane, near the London Bridge. Helped by a strong easterly wind and coupled with dry and dusty air, the fire raged for 3 days, and 100,000 people were homeless because of it. And only, they say only a handful of people died. And but they don't know. They don't have complete records of it. This eyewitness episode brings together the firsthand accounts of diarist Samuel Pepys and schoolboy William Tazewell, who watched the fire devastate the city. And it's a picture. I guess he painted it. And it's hanging up right now in London at one of the museums. But apparently that was a massive fire. And I don't know if anybody's been to London. Pretty cool. But that's a big-ass bridge. But I don't think the Golden Gate is as big as the London Bridge, or as I should say, as long as the Golden Gate Bridge. So their number five is the first man in space. On April 12, 1961, Soviet astronaut Yuri Gagarin became the first human to journey into space, making a 108-minute orbital flight in his Vostok 1 spacecraft. And he was dressed in a brilliant orange spacesuit. I don't know, why do they say brilliant orange? I'm sorry, guys. I know, just throw this off there. And a helmet inscribed with CCCP, painted in red, which marked him as a Soviet citizen so that he would be recognized after parachuting to safety. Sergei Khrushchev, the son of Nikita Khrushchev, who was the Soviet premier at the time of his flight, told BBC News in 2010, when we look at the response of the Muscovites, where everyone was in the streets and on the roofs and the buildings and the windows, I would compare this celebration with the May 9th Victory Day at the end of the Second World War for the Soviet Union. Okay, so he may have been the first person in space, right? When was the Apollo supposed to have touched down on the moon? Was it in the late 60s? Weren't you born yet, Bobby?
No, I believe that was before I was born.
Well, I mean, I know it was in the late 60s, right? Like 67, 68, somewhere around there.
Well, I was only like a year old. Lorna was older then.
Okay. Huh?
Lorna was older then.
Lorna, when were you born?
I wasn't born before Bobby.
She was born in 1954.
I was not.
My
you
mom
was too.
I was not.
Okay, see, now, did they really get on the moon? See, that's the whole thing. They showed the boots that they had worn, and the footprint that's on the moon is not the same boot print that they wore. And there also, the other thing was, they show Alan, whatever the hell his name is. I'm so sorry, I forgot. I'm having a brain fart right now. How did they get the video camera way out there if he was supposed to be the first man on the moon? So, I don't know. But it is a good question, though. A lot of people are now coming to say that they don't believe. They wanted America, or NASA wanted America to be the first one on the moon. And that's why a lot of people are doubting it, that they never actually made it to touch down on the moon. Anywho, number six, the Salem witch trials. between June and September of 1692, 19 men and women were found guilty of witchcraft and executed in the small religious community of Salem, Massachusetts. Let me tell you something. That is a small town, and it's creepy as shit. Warwick, Mass, same thing, where they had other witch trials in Warwick, Mass, and it is creepy to go through this tiny-ass town. You blink, you missed it. We went through it when I lived up in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. So anyway, a horror that shocked the world, the Salem witch trials have spawned hundreds of films. Let's see, Arthur Miller's acclaimed 1953 work, The Crucible, never seen it. They executed men and women who were convicted on the spurious evidence of a young group of village girls who claimed to have been bewitched. Paranoia fed by ongoing family feuds and attacks by Native Americans developed into a wave of hysteria that quickly spread throughout the colonial Massachusetts. And another 150 men, women, and children were accused in the spring of 1692 and were only spared the gallows by confessing. Now, we all know there's no such thing as witches. Let me say that, real witches. I mean, that's the one thing I don't believe in. What about you guys? Do you guys believe back in the day the witches and crazy shit like that?
Well, up where my cousins live, my cousin got involved with a girl that practiced, shut up, Bobby, that practiced witchcraft.
I mean,
and her name was Lorna Munson.
A lot of people do practice witchcraft. Don't get me wrong. They believe there's white magic and black magic, the voodoo and all the evil satanic shit. Okay, you know, and people do. Now, can they cast spells, like even white magic? Can they, you know, the white sage and burning it and all of that stuff and the crystals?
I have no idea.
They do. I'm guilty of burning white sage because I will do anything. House is haunted, and I got salt in the windows, got a cross on the wall. and I am not beyond using white sage. I will burn a white sage incense, the six. Trust me, I have done it all. But honestly, does all of that work? I don't know. You know, I don't really think it does, but who am I to bash you for wanting to believe what you want? You know? Number seven is the outbreak of the First World War, fought by more than 30 nations on a geographical scale never seen before. It was arguably the first truly global conflict, and it claimed the lives of more than 9 million soldiers and an unknown number of civilians, and says the Imperial War Museum forever altered the world social and political landscape. Britain declared war on Germany on August 4th, 1914, and after weeks of tension following the assassination of Franz Ferdinand, heir to the Austro-Hungarian throne in Sarajevo on June 28th, and over the coming months, as Europe descended into war, it became clear the war would not be won by Christmas. Using archive records or recordings of eyewitnesses from Germany, France, Britain, Belgium, this episode of The Witness tells a story of how the war started and that it devastated a generation. And it really did. My grandfather, my mom's dad, was in World War I. And people think it's odd, but he was born in the 1800s. So he was only like 17 or 18 when he went to war. But see, that's what's so funny is the fact that my mom's dad was in World War One. My dad's dad was in World War Two. And he was 65 when she was born. And that's what throws it off. People were like, how the hell is your grandfather? Because he was 65. 63. And then he was 65 when my uncle was born. So, yeah. Number eight, they have Jack the Ripper. And I was there in London, damn it, and I never got to go up the alley. They actually have a tour, a guided tour, and it's like $25. And they take you to all the places that Jack the Ripper went. And within a few weeks in 1888, the serial killer dubbed Jack the Ripper mutilated and killed five prostitutes in London's East End. Panic gripped the city as police hunted for the killer, and speculation was rife as to his or her identity. See, a lot of people think Jack the Ripper was really a woman. That's what I've been hearing on all these movies that I watch. They think that Jack the Ripper was actually a woman. And if it was, and he only killed prostitutes, I'm wondering if it was the wife of one of the men that those prostitutes slept with. And she caught him. And I wonder, I mean, because that makes sense, especially in today's age. So the police hunted for where to go? Was he a doctor, a Jew, a foreigner, a butcher? Was Jack, in fact, Jill? And the one theory even links the murders to Queen Victoria's grandson, Prince Albert Victor. I think I'm going to look this up, of who Jack the Ripper really was. That would be kind of cool. So despite interrogating dozens of suspects, the police failed to convict anyone of the murders. And to this day, the killer's identity remains a mystery. They have no idea who Jack the Ripper was. All right, guys, I got to go outside and beat my dogs because my poor neighbor's coming home. You think that these retarded dogs would know who he is. Oh, never mind. It's not him. It's one of his hoes. Sorry. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves for just a second. I'm going to go and beat this. Oh, shit. That's why. It's another dog.
Talk to yourself, Maddie.
Go ahead. Talk to yourself, guys.
Bobby.
Go
wake
asleep.
Up, Bobby. I know. I want to sleep. I need too much. Oh. That would be a thing for a show, is go through the days and this happened on this day.
Oh, was just looking at that. Today on this day in history, and on this website that I'm looking at, it's on the History Channel. It says today on this day in history, it shows whatever happened. But another thing that I was thinking about doing, guys, by all means, listeners, if you want me to do a history or anything, let me know. I'm game for researching everything. Well, as long as it's legal and things like that, yes, I'll do a show on it. I could do one on all the serial killers. And something that I just found out, that BTK was from Wichita. I did not know that. I was going through.
Who is it?
That's where he's from. I saw that.
BTK.
Yeah.
Bound, tortured, and killed. Yeah, I didn't know he's from Wichita. And yeah. I told Pat, and he goes, oh, yeah. I'm like, wow. So
we have
number nine.
We have a few from here. I think Ted Bundy.
Yeah, I think I'll do, you know what, I'll do that next week. I'll do infamous serial killers.
Yeah, it's Lorna dated from Ted Bundy.
No. No.
She had him live with her for
but yeah,
a while.
I think, yeah, we'll do serial killers next week. Why not? What the hell?
There you go.
It's history.
Yeah.
It's history.
Yeah.
And there's some, so anybody come up with, I'm going to research all of it, of course. I love doing that. And then, you know, we could also do is gangsters, which is kind of funny because Melvin Purvis, the head of the CIA, was my, I guess, his cousin. And, yeah, we everyone asked me, are you related to Melvin Purvis? Yes. And what's funny is Babyface Nelson was my grandmother's nephew. So I'm like, wow, I got gangsters on one side.
Huh? That explains a lot. That explains a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. John Dillinger. I've got to do the research on it, but my family, my mom's dad, they changed their name. And it was Derringer, whatever the hell it is. And they've changed it so many times. And I'm wondering if it's because of John Dillinger. So I've got to do the family history on it. But I'm not sure. And it's just something that's been passed down through our family. But I don't know about that one. But yeah, we'll do the serial killers next week. Why not? What the hell? It's history, so kids can still learn. I'm guessing this is King Tut's tomb. Tutankhamun, whatever. Tutankhamun. That's King Tut. I'm taking it. I don't know if you guys know anything about King. I mean, yeah. But it was the greatest archaeological discovery of all time. In 1922, British archaeologist Howard Carter and his team found the intact tomb of an Egyptian pharaoh of the 18th dynasty. The only unplundered tomb of a pharaoh found in the Valley of the Kings, the tomb was filled with artifacts, including statues and artwork. So many, in fact, that it took 10 years, to catalog every single one of them. And the 1922 discovery, a global frenzy for ancient Egypt, a craze for the Egyptian exoticism convulsed the West, infiltrating both high and low culture across the fields of music, fine art, fashion, film, and furniture design. Yeah, my oldest wanted to be an archaeologist, and we told her that's unfortunately that's not a good thing to get a career in because pretty much everything's already been discovered. Unless you want to research more about it, so we talked her out of it. But yeah, she because of King Tut and all of them, she wanted to be an archaeologist. So number 10, the bombing of Hiroshima, or Hiroshima, however you want to pronounce it. On August 6, 1945, America dropped a nuclear bomb on the Japanese city of Hiroshima, killing 135,000 people, give or take. Within the first 3 seconds, thousands were incinerated. As the temperature at the burst point reached, holy crap, 60 million degrees centigrade. Dear God, how hot is that? Do you guys know? how to do centigrade to Fahrenheit.
Hotter than hell.
I know 37 degrees Celsius is 97 degrees Fahrenheit. I know that. That's because my thermometer got changed over, and I don't know how to freaking change it. So in theory, if 37 degrees Celsius is 97 Fahrenheit, that's pretty much doubled, almost doubled. Holy crap. I wonder how hot that is. Could you even compare that to the sun? Or is the sun hotter than 120 million degrees?
I don't know. I never checked his temperature.
No, seriously, is at 60 million degrees centigrade, would that be, you know what? I'm just going to look it up. The hell with it. How hot the sun is. Oh, by the way, AOC said to just send astronauts to the sun at night so it's not as hot.
There's a few people we should send to the sun.
Yeah.
One being our president. Or the president. He's not president.
The temperature of this, I don't know how the hell they got this. The temperature at the surface of the sun is about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is nowhere near how hot it got in Japan. Okay. The temperature rises from the surface of the sun inward towards a very hot center. And the center is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. So,
how did they figure out how hot it was in Japan?
You know what? I have no idea. You know what? I just answered my own stupid question because if I knew how to read fast enough, it says it's 10,000 times hotter than the sun's surface. No shit.
Oh.
But here's the thing. You're right. One, how do they even know the sun's temperature on the inside as compared to the surface? How hot would they have known about the bomb going off and how hot?
Yeah, because I don't think there's any piece of equipment that would survive that, that would read an actual number.
Well, that ends by the degree of it incinerated everything. So I guess you'd have to take that into calculation, like iron beams. How hot does something have to be to melt iron beams, you know, and shit like that. But it destroyed, it decimated everything. It says the attack was followed 3 days later by a second atomic bomb that dropped on Nagasaki, which killed 50,000 people, but they're thinking around 74,000. Many of the survivors suffered from radiation sickness, which is vomiting, fever, fatigue, bleeding from the gums, thinning hair, diarrhea, and death. Now, the picture they show, yeah, there's nothing left. There's one building, and most of it's gone, so that's got to be the farthest out.
Now, they were just talking about the nuclear meltdown or whatever it was over in the Ukraine, and they said today's the anniversary date of that, and hundreds of people have died in the immediate area, and over the years from radiation poisoning, over 9,000 people have died from it.
Is that Chernobyl? Or Chernobyl in Russia?
Uh-huh.
Or is Chernobyl in the Ukraine? I know we just did this. See, I have a brain fart and I forget. That's sad. The thing about especially about Fukushima, they're saying the radiation is 10 years later is just now hitting the coast of California. So imagine those nuclear meltdowns, you can't have shit there. And people live by Chernobyl, probably with, you know, three boobs and, you know, I don't know, some other unusual
extra
things.
Body parts, three eyes.
Extra body, like I said, three boobs, one butt cheek, I don't know.
Cyclops.
Do they glow in the dark? Yeah, do they glow in the dark?
Probably.
That's
where they get the neon sticks. Or those, what do you call them?
Yeah, the chem lights? The chem lights? Yeah. Hey, look, if that was an outcome of a nuclear meltdown, that's all you got was glow in the dark, sign me up. I'll glow in the dark. I'll be my own nightlight. So the last one they have is the execution of Oliver Cromwell. Arguably one of the most remarkable moments in history in 1661, the body of Oliver Cromwell was exhumed from Westminster Abbey. Wait a minute. I got to make sure I'm reading this right. In 1661, the body of Oliver Cromwell was exhumed from Westminster Abbey to be executed for treason. Okay, so he was already dead. Because in November of 1658, he had been given a state funeral at Westminster Abbey. The dude was dead. How can you execute somebody who was dead? He was an officer in the Roundheads.
Well, you put strings on his arms and stuff to make a move and let everybody think that he's alive, and then you kill him again.
I guess it's to desecrate him or, I don't know, but it says that at the outbreak of the Civil War in the summer of 1642, Cromwell went on to become one of the conflict's key figures and played a leading role in Charles I's trial and subsequent beheading. Following the king's execution, a republic was declared known as the Commonwealth of England. Yeah, okay, I'm going to have to go look. Hold on. It says, how did it... Let me go look and see if it's another little thing on it, because I don't have to listen to it. I just want to see it. Well, crap. Yeah, so they did. They dug him up and executed him for good measure. But, yeah, like I said, it was probably to embarrass them or for good measure. That's weird. Okay, and so we got plenty of time. So this is the deadliest events in U.S. history. The attack on Pearl Harbor, about 2,390 men and women lost their lives in the early hours of December 7th, 1941. A swarm of nearly 90 Japanese aircraft converged on the American naval base at Pearl Harbor on Oahu, Hawaii. After they did this, did they not say how they snuck all of those aircraft carriers in? How did we not know that they were coming? Navy man?
That's a Bobby. And that would be a Bobby question.
Yeah, Bobby is a Navy.
Bobby's sleeping.
Free beer.
Free beer.
No, seriously. How did they sneak 90 aircraft carriers? How did the Japanese sneak 90 aircraft carriers into Pearl Harbor without us knowing?
That's a good question.
They don't teach you that in the Navy?
Nah. I mean, shipboard sailors, maybe. Like Weathers or John.
Not serious, because they teach us all the Army shit, you know, about, because they named, everything we did in basic training was named after something that happened in the military. Like we have the Remagen Bridge. We have an obstacle course called the Remagen, and everything else. So that's what I was wondering if they taught you guys all of the stuff. But yeah, it says nearly half of the American guests were aboard the USS Arizona. And isn't it still leaking oil today?
Yeah, a few of the ships that sunk.
And it's still there. And they, I want to go, but God, I don't want to, not, I'm not going now. But they have the little bridge thing that you can walk, and you can actually see it.
Yeah, I've been on it, on what you're talking about, the memorial, and I've also dove above it.
And the bodies are still inside the vessel,
yeah,
right?
They've even opened up certain areas of it to place veterans who have passed to be buried with their brothers.
Oh, from the USS Arizona?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And see, here's this thing. And what I'm about to talk about, too, is another thing. Kids today have no clue. They don't teach history anymore. Well, they teach history, but they teach history about today's shit. No. You need to learn about stuff in the past so you don't repeat history. And that's why some of these kids today, they just have no clue and they're so damn stupid. Even some millennials, I'm talking millennials that's in their mid to late 20s, some of them still think Hitler's alive. And they thought Hitler was an American president. I'm like, dear God, what? I mean, they just don't teach kids anything. And the same thing with September 11th, almost 3,000 people died. And it hinted that America was about to be the victim of the deadliest foreign assault ever on U.S. soil. The first hijacked commercial airlines, and I did not see the first one. I saw the second one. There's a lot of things going around about that it was not a terrorist attack. Our government had something to do with it. And, you know, I did not want to believe it. But there's a lot of things going around about that. But it's still a shame that all of those people died. And then the, where is it at? Wow. So almost 3,000 people died in the two buildings, but nearly 4,000 firemen and first responders have died from that incident. And that's from the actual attack that day up until now, because of they've died from cancer and other medical related 9/11 related medical conditions. Do you guys remember that one picture of the woman walking and she's covered in dust and everything else? The black lady. I don't know if you guys have seen all the pictures, but I remember seeing her that day. She just died of cancer from that day. I think it was last year. A lot of people are so hateful. They're like, it was just an explosion. Get over it. But this is what I'm talking about. It's important to remember history. You know, you want to, and this goes all the way back to how America got started, and people want to cry about our past and this, that, and the other, but yet you get rid of all the statues. And you don't want to learn about it to keep from happening again. And they want to say the American flag is racist, the Constitution's, you know, we've gone over this before, but and here's the problem. Is they're so butthurt? Like, oh, it offends me. I don't want to learn about it. Well, then be stupid. So it's important, you know, to learn. Okay, my rant's over with. So there was an earthquake in San Francisco in 1906 and a fire that resulted from the earthquake. And I know in California they made their buildings so I know nothing's resistant to earthquakes, but how they build them, where they sway, like a suspension bridge, it will sway. Oh, no. Why? Ah, sorry. I don't know how it happened. Damn it. My computer is possessed. I don't want to play a video. I know I'll mute it. That's what I'll do. Okay. So, anywho, there was an earthquake in 1906, At the turn of the 20th century, San Francisco was a Western boom town with a population of 400,000. Damn. Many of them crowded into hastily constructed wood and brick tenements in the city's poorer South Market district. And at 5:13 a.m. on April 18th, Northern California was jolted awake by a massive earthquake, and that ruptured 296 miles of San Andreas Fault. We're long overdue, just saying. The violent shaking, which lasted an agonizing 45 to 60 seconds, toppled buildings across San Francisco, including City Hall, which was reduced to a skeleton wearing a doomed hat, whatever the hell that means. Even deadlier than the earthquake and its aftershocks were the fires that tore through the overcrowded tenement, and it burned for 4 days. And they're estimating that 3,000 people died in the disaster. And it leveled 500 city blocks. And it left about 200,000 people homeless. But that's the last major earthquake that the San Andreas Fault had. They're well overdue for at least a 10.0, at least. And the thing is, that death toll of 3,000 people will be astronomical now, whenever San Andreas does have another one. And so, I mean, because there's just so many people there. So in 1900, the Galveston hurricane killed 8,000 people. And I believe it's after that is when they started naming hurricanes. I'm not sure how far after that. But Galveston, Texas, man, they get pummeled by hurricanes. They had 150-mile-an-hour wind, and it drowned it with 15-foot storm surges, and it remains the deadliest natural disaster in American history. 8,000 men, women, and children were killed in the Category 4 storm. It lifted thousands of houses off their moorings and smashed them into pieces. So whatever they build, you know, your foundation, it just ripped it right off. And the howling winds tore off more roof shingles and transformed them into flying knives. Damn. St. Mary's Orphans Asylum lashed themselves to the children in desperation. Lashed, whatever. They attacked. I guess apparently they tied the kids together with them. Only to be swept out to sea when the walls collapsed. And Galveston was one of their wealthiest and most modern cities, and it was reduced to rubble. And the bodies of countless victims would wash ashore for weeks. So the Korean War, claimed the lives of almost 37,000 people. And it has been, they've named it the Forgotten War. And I've had a lot of Korean veterans tell me that people just, they skip it. It's like World War I and then two, and then, you know, they forget about Korea. Thank God. Okay. So it was a major conflagration. I think these are typos in here because I'm like, this is not even a word. Sorry. Between nuclear powers that ultimately cost the lives of 37,000 U.S. servicemen, the Korean War was the first test of the United Nations, which sent troops to defend South Korea after a June 25, 1950 invasion by communist North Korea, backed by China and the Soviet Union. Nearly 2 million American troops were deployed during the 3 years of fighting, which ended in a bloody stalemate with neither side gaining or losing their pre-war territory. Wow. No atomic weapons were used. Massive bombing campaigns, including napalm, killed an estimated 2 million civilians in North Korea alone. We eventually burned down every town in North Korea and some in South Korea, too. said a U.S. retired Air Force General, Curtis LeMay. We even burned down the city, the southern Korean city of Busan. And as an, it was an accident. So they just burnt down the rest of it. The Vietnam War caused the lives of over 58,000. America's long and unpopular war with the communist North Vietnam began as a targeted military intervention and devolved into a decade-long war of attrition. Anti-war protesters took to the streets of America burning draft cards. Millions of young men were shipped out to fight in the jungles and rice paddies of Southeast Asia against an unflagging enemy. I know a lot of you probably know Jane Fonda. They call her Hanoi Jane. And to this day, I do believe, however many Vietnam vets we have alive, they hate her for what she did. She was actually on the side of North Vietnam. And she would do all the, what do you call it, where they would get on the radio and try to bring down the morale of the troops, and they made all kinds of pamphlets and stuff. And the
propaganda.
Vietnam War, the veterans, what would you say, Bobby, up until when did they start getting the slightest bit of respect?
It was called propaganda.
Oh, okay, propaganda. Okay.
And, they didn't start getting recognized or thanked or feeling sorry for, the late 90s?
Yeah, I know it was quite a while. And so that's why I make it a point. My dad went through it. When he came back from Vietnam, he didn't talk about it much because of the way he got treated. And it changed a lot of the men. A lot of them were changed. And to this day, a lot of them struggle. I actually posted an audio of a Vietnam veteran who was struggling. And he called 911, and he told them that he couldn't take it anymore. He was having flashbacks, and he had a knife, and the operator was amazing. You know, she helped him get through it, and the Vietnam veterans, I mean, they just got treated like crap. They called them baby killers, all kinds of stuff. I mean, they even called some of the Desert Storm veterans baby killers. I saw some of the memes that people made up. You know, if you don't put on a uniform and you don't make some kind of sacrifice, being away from your family for however long, you know, deployments or whatever, you know, honestly, you don't have the right. And this is just my opinion. You don't have the right to belittle someone who's active duty or in the military or who's a veteran. Because if you couldn't put that uniform on, I don't think you have the right to belittle them. And so some of the things that I've seen, it's just horrendous as to what a lot of the I could just imagine how the Vietnam veterans felt. So the worst and the bloodiest fighting span from 1967 to 69, and that's where about 40,000 troops were killed in those 2 years. And then the Tet Offensive, the United States ultimately withdrew from Southeast Asia, ceding control of Vietnam to the communists. And that's why you will hear people talk shit. Well, you still lost Vietnam, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, and that's why I hate that. You'll see me like I am now, going off. Sorry. World War. Sorry, I do. I go off on a tangent and come back. World War One. It was 116,516 men and women. Well, I say men because I don't know when women were, except for Pearl Harbor with the nurses and stuff. When did women actually get to be, aside from nurses and medics, when did women really start getting into the military? Was it World War II when they first started?
Oh, God, I thought I was on mute this whole time. I have no idea.
Well, I didn't hear a beep.
I think it was World War II.
But wasn't it mostly cooks and, like, nurses?
Nurses.
And things like that? I don't think they really
But now they're getting into... You know, when a World War II female veteran dies, now you're finding out that they were mechanics and stuff too.
Oh, okay.
Because the actress from
B. Arthur,
yeah, she was a Marine mechanic.
Yeah, I knew she was in, but I didn't know what she did. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's popping up through different, you know, times. I'm sure if we Googled it or, you know, looked into it, we'd find more and more jobs that the women did do.
Oh, yeah. When I was in basic training, when we were not the range, but when we got to use all the big guns and we had our, you know, they actually had – veterans from the Korean War, Vietnam, and I guess World War II, because this has been 11 years or 12 years, they actually had women there. And the funniest thing was they let them fire some of those weapons. They helped them, of course, and they let all the veterans, all the older veterans, use some of the weapons, especially the stuff that they didn't have back in the day, you know, and they got a kick out of it. They absolutely loved it. So Europe slid into the war in 1914, but the United States, under President Woodrow Wilson, vowed to remain neutral into the foreign conflict. But after German torpedoes sank the passenger ship, the Lusitania, in 1915, killing 120 Americans, public sentiment began to shift, and the U.S. declared war on Germany on April 6, 1917. I didn't know that's what got us in the war, into the first one, and deployed hundreds of thousands of conscripted young men in the trench-scarred battlefields of Europe to face German bullets and bayonets, tank artillery, poison gas, and disease. One big thing that they had in World War One was mustard gas. They used it a lot. And that's what my grandfather had injuries from, the mustard gas. And so a sobering total of 116,000 Americans died. The war to end all wars, which concluded with an armistice declaring Allied victory at exactly 11 a.m., November 11th, 1918. This is what's it. If the war had kept up a few hours longer, there wouldn't be many of us left to tell about it. Wow. Must have been pretty bad. So World War II has, it claimed 405,000 men. The bitter terms of Germany's surrender under World War I crippled the German economy and bred both contempt for Allied powers and anti-Semitic conspiracies of a Jewish communist plot to destroy Germany from within. And Adolf Hitler rode to power in 1933 and put plans in motion to establish an Aryan German empire The funny thing about Adolf Hitler, he was actually in prison before he got into politics and before he got into, you know, he started from the bottom like everybody else does, and he worked his way up. But, yeah, he was in prison for a short period. The United States, as it did during World War One, held back as England, France, and other nations declared war on Hitler. But after the attack on Pearl Harbor, the U.S. declared war on both Japan and Germany. See, that's what threw me off between the two wars. So both on Japan and Germany and join the Allies and the heroic beach invasion at Normandy, in which more than 4,400 Allied troops were killed in the span of days. And the Battle of Okinawa, the deadliest battle for the United States, more than 12,000 troops lost their lives on the rain-soaked rock. In total, of the 405,000 died in World War II. And that's the deadliest American war raged on foreign soil. Now, this next one, I call bullshit, and I'm sorry, but if anyone wants to argue with me, you go right ahead. The COVID pandemic, 534,000 people have died. Yeah, I call bullshit. The CDC, they've already said they've lied about statistics, so I'm going to say it's nowhere near that. But that's just my 2 cents worth. But, and Lorna, I do have to apologize about that movie, SARS 29. There's actually two movies. Yeah. No, there's actually two of those movies. One was made in 2012. Yeah. But they're not called SARS 29. One was made in 2012. And that went over all of the different, the bird flu, all the different, you know, the Zika virus, I forgot. And the one I watched was actually made in 2019, but it came out in the beginning of 2020, which still leads me to believe too much of the shit in that movie, there's just no way of what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Because in their thing, they said about the Wuhan laboratory and stuff. But it's like, wait a minute, we didn't even know about it until, what, January of 2020? See, so a lot of the shit had it still looked too freaky for me. Anywho, but 4 billion people died in that movie from the three pandemics in 2019, 2022, and 2024. 4 billion people died. And it even spoke of the vaccines. So, which leads me to believe to why a lot of this COVID shit is just, it's too much with the vaccines. And I've been hearing a lot about if you have not got the vaccine and you're near, like someone who just got it, and this has to happen within the first 2 weeks now that a person getting it takes about 14 days. What they make the vaccine out of causes your body to over mass produce the protein spikes of the virus. And what happens is, just like with any virus that you catch, your body's going to expel it through, especially when you have a fever. And so when you have a fever, you sweat. Well, that's what they're saying. Now they're saying that people that are getting vaccinated within the first 2 weeks, it's causing a lot of problems for people. Men are having blood clots. Women are having blood clots in their lungs, their brain, their body. I've heard that women are having miscarriages because, one, now I don't agree with this, especially when I was pregnant. And when my oldest was pregnant last year, her OB told her not to get a vaccine. They would not let her get one. And now they're forcing pregnant women today, well, this year, to get a COVID vaccine. So, this whole thing about depopulation, I do believe has to do with the vaccine and stuff. So, like I said, I don't believe that 500,000 people died. Probably like...
No, I just heard on the news. I just heard on the news that I think it was like five. It was either 5,000 or 5 million. I don't remember. It was a five though. That they're refusing to get the second shot.
Oh, okay. What was it?
I think it was five million.
It's a big number. Yeah, it's a big number. Well, I know. I think I saw that on the news. And then someone on the news, like I said, I told you guys, I don't know who I told, the newscaster said, and I don't know what state it is. I want to say Ohio. It's one of those states up there on from like the middle of the United States towards New York. It's one of those states up there. The newscaster said, we're running out of people who want to be euthanized. And then he says, oh, my bad, vaccinated. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not stupid, but euthanized and vaccinated do not sound alike. They sound completely different. So that's what I'm saying.
I said he's not going to get the shot.
No, what I'm saying is if it's – because what I'm about to go over next, the 1918 flu pandemic killed 675,000 people. Now, I thought, is that the one that went around the world?
What?
The 1918 flu, let's see, the one that went around the world and killed how many hundreds of millions of people?
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't say, oh, yes, that's here it is. It killed between 50 and 100 million people worldwide. Okay. Here's what I call bullshit. They did not do then what they're doing now. They're mass-producing fear over something that killed 100 million people, roughly, worldwide. And right now, I believe it's not even at a couple million worldwide. So so basically it says, was wrongfully labeled the Spanish flu. And believe it or not, the first confirmed case of this virulent strain of influenza was none other than the Army cook stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas. In March of 1918, spring fatalities, the 1918 flu were similar to the seasonal flu, but after the virus followed troop deployment, and see, that's why they thought this. When the troops came home in World War II, that's what happened. So, you know, troops from all over the United States went, right? And so when they come home, and that's when it spread like wildfire. And it resurged in the fall with deadly vengeance in October of 2018. And it was the worst single month of the pandemic. And it claimed 200,000 American lives in 1 month. And it was the most dangerous to the very old and very young. I lost... because it's in my family Bible. We lost quite a few people in our family, and I believe it killed an aunt, uncle, and a cousin in the same family. That was the mother, the father, and a cousin in that pandemic. But see, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why, unless, like I said, when I watched that movie, when they had three pandemics, one right after another. And they even had said, we've heard them all say that the fifth and sixth wave, how many waves is this bullshit thing? And something that I heard was very interesting. they've already said they've used nanite technology in the mRNA and all that crap in some of these vaccines. They said this is a precursor for the next pandemic. Everybody knows it was man-made, and it's a matter of where it was made, okay? And so they believe that the next pandemic is supposed to reactivate this virus, because once you get a virus, you build antibodies to it, and hopefully you never get it again, that you won't get that one particular strain. So what they were saying is that this one, and that's why they're pushing for the vaccine, which makes no sense. But the next pandemic we supposedly have will be just like the 1918 pandemic. And I think that's what they're pushing for, but to have 100 million people in the United States die from it. I mean, Bill Gates even said that he wants 95% of the world to be depopulated. Dude, that's like, why?
I can't believe somebody hasn't taken that douchebag out yet.
And you know what's even funnier? Is why does he have a say-so in anything in virology? He's not a doctor. He can't even create a virus, an antivirus program for your damn laptop. Okay? That's how... What makes you think... And the same thing with Johnson & Johnson. Supposedly their baby powder could kill you, and you want them to make a vaccine.
Right.
But I digress. I don't know shit. So the next one is the HIV AIDS pandemic has killed over 700,000 people. Honestly, I thought it killed more than that. I didn't think it was that low. So in 1981, doctors began reporting a mysterious cases of rare types of pneumonia and cancers, predominantly in gay men in New York and California. And that's why at the time they called it the gay disease. But here's the thing. The reason why it went from gay men to straight people and stuff was, you donate blood. And back in the day, they did not, they did the cross type and match, but they didn't test it for all the STDs and stuff. Because my youngest brother in 1986, his appendix ruptured and he almost died, and he had to have, he had to get blood in 86. And so for so many years, they had to keep testing him for HIV. And I didn't know that until I was in my 20s. And that's what happened. So one of these gentlemen who had HIV donated blood, and it went from that into that and just kept going on and on and on. And that's what happened. And I believe, who is the athlete that had HIV, the basketball player?
Oh.
Had it for like, he lived like almost 20 years with it.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I've heard of him, but I don't know his name.
I can't. Was it Magic Johnson? I can't remember his name. But the but in the late 90s, the amount of deaths from HIV dropped, and. Oh, no, wait a minute. Thanks to the Safe Sex campaign, to the advent of powerful antiretroviral therapy. Okay, I read that right. But they were having between 10 and 15,000 people a year that died from it. And the thing is, they've come up with a lot of new antivirals, and people are living, because back then it was, what, 5 years, maybe 10 years you lived with it. And then you died.
Magic Johnson.
Was it Magic Johnson? Okay. Did you look
it
up? How long did he have it? Or is he alive, or did he finally pass away?
Let's see if I can find it again. What does it say? Hold on. He had it for 13 years. No, wait. The court is perfect. That's what he played basketball for 13 years. Tested positive for HIV, though he later returned. And it doesn't really say.
Okay. But yeah, I think he was one of the longest living people with it at whenever that was. But yeah, they're coming up with new antivirals, and it is becoming a better thing, you know, whether you can live longer with it. So the Civil War, I did not know this either, but an estimation of 750,000 people died. But don't forget, both sides were on American soil. So for more than a century, the number was shrined at 618,000. And then it was 360,000 from the Union and 258,000 from the South. But in recent decades, that number has risen to 750,000. And so basically, and of course, they're blaming the undercounting of the Confederates. Now, sound like a trend? Except this was the South, the undercounting, the overcounting. I guess our history has a habit of doing that. So
it's
that
the
higher
new math.
Figure, huh? It's a Common Core math. I know, and that's when it started. So basically back then, it was 2.5% of the population was killed. And this is what they're saying right now. If a similar war was fought today, it would claim the lives of more than 7 million Americans. I don't know. I think that number might actually be higher. To be honest with you, I think it would claim more than 7 million Americans. Because we have, what, 328 million? But
I just looked that up the other day, and I don't remember what it was.
What?
See if it's still on there. How many people are in the...
What?
Well, I think I just did the United States.
Oh, okay. I the last count, I thought it was 325 or 328. Come on.
No, it's not still there.
Okay.
I'll type it in quick.
Ooh, ah, ah.
It says population of the United States is 328.2 million.
Okay. Did you know that 200 million Americans died from COVID that never died before?
What?
I don't know. That's what Biden said. Biden said 200 Americans have died from 200 million Americans have died from COVID who never died before. Dude, I would hope so. That they died that never died before. Now, he was not saying people who had near-death experiences. Like jackwagon. He's a freaking dumbass. But that is all I have for the evening. So next week, I'll probably do that. We will cover serial killers, possibly what makes them tick, and what.
Yeah.
I've watched too many crime shows, like Criminal Minds, SVU, Law and Order, the original one. SVU, I've watched, what was the one, Without a Trace, pretty much CSI Vegas, Miami, so we could
I watch all of them. Well, I used to not watch it. No, I don't watch that channel for some reason.
Oh, and Chicago PD, Med, and Fire. But see, here's the thing. This is why people laugh, or I laugh at some people. They're like, you're scary. Why? They're like, because you could probably kill someone and hide the body, and they'll never find it. Well, don't mess with me and you won't have to find out.
Right.
Tomorrow, I'm going to be finishing up from what we went over last week, the vitamins. I'm going to do all the minerals and things like potassium and iron and all that good stuff. And hopefully if Dr. Phil's on, he can help out. I like when he gets on and he helps, because I learn a lot from him too.
Right.
Because like I said, there's things that as a nurse, especially as an LPN, we don't learn what RNs learn and we don't learn what PAs learn and doctors and all that. But over years, you know, you learn it. But here's the thing. If you don't use it, you lose it. So
right.
like all the lab values, look, I couldn't tell you shit. To be honest, all the stuff I did, especially when I did hospice and home health, I didn't need to know lab values.
Right.
So, I could tell you what your values are for like your blood pressure, your temperature and things like that, but yeah, I'm going to go over all the minerals and things like that. And then of course we have Thursday, all the politics and stuff. And Bobby, I still have the links if you want me to send them to you of the stuff that happened we didn't get to go over last week.
He can't come to the phone right now. He's on an important phone call.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll send him.
Who's on?
Huh? No. I'll just send him to him whenever he gets off the phone. I gotta do my. Which I feel really freaking stupid on some of this because I'm like, huh. Oh, and I just found this cool thing, and I'm going to read this article. You know, I don't know who all is religious, you know, from Christian to Buddhist to – I don't know. I don't care. It's your choice. But apparently, I'm going to read this article. They drilled into ice on Mount Kilimanjaro, and they have discovered a biblical secret that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. So, yeah. So they're saying, yeah, so that's why I love finding stuff like this because, you know, I've been told quite a few ugly things and I try to be nice to people. And it's hard. It is very hard.
Yes, it is. You just got to know how to word it, so don't sound like you're being a bitch.
Okay,
I got that
honestly,
one mastered.
I can't, man. I'm telling you, I just block people. I'll comment and block them so they can't do shit about it. Because once you block somebody on social media, they can't. Who are they going to report you to? You're blocked.
Right.
So they can block. They could do all that. But somebody took a video of a cop in New York. And this cop looked emotionally, psychologically beat. He just, you know what I'm saying? He looked tired. And
I should stop in and visit this St. Paul cop that I know. And see what
the thing is,
how it is actually in the city.
This is what they said to the comments on this video. They said, well, if you weren't so busy being an animal and murdering people, maybe you wouldn't be so tired. And that's one of the comments. Oh my God. Yeah. And so people were just like demeaning this cop. And so I put my 2 cents in and I said, well, maybe if people didn't tell them how to do their job, and if you think you could do a better job, then get off your lazy ass and you go get a job and be a cop. And you fix the problem.
Well, right, exactly.
You know. So I have a picture of my new grandbaby as my one of my accounts, right? And it's a picture of her. Well, apparently people think she's my kid. Okay? And so they said, thank you for your opinion. Now go take care of your kid and be a good mother and get off of TikTok. I said, well, thank you, one, but it's my grandchild. And why don't you go and fuck off? And I was, I went off on them. And then I blocked them. And, yeah, that's what I do. I go on there, and believe it or not, I like to laugh at the videos that's on there. They're really stupid. I've posted a lot of stupid shit in the group.
People
but,
like that, they usually all sit there and argue with them, and they usually end up blocking me.
Oh, I don't know how many times I've been blocked. I know I'm shadow banned.
But
I know
put
I'm
in
shadow banned.
I've been put in Facebook jail, too, for it.
Shit.
And they were going to throw me in Facebook jail for bullying. They were going to throw me in Facebook jail for bullying Bobby.
listen to this. I made a comment on Facebook, right? And the second I hit post, I get a warning. Are you sure you want to post that? That goes against community guidelines. And it says, delete, rewrite, or ignore. Ignore. And nothing ever has. Oh, I've had that like 5 or 6 times because my account is restricted right now. If I proceed to, as they call, harass a bully by telling the truth, they'll ban my account for good. And I got 3 accounts. None of them have the same email. As a matter of fact, one of them is a Yahoo account email. And they, when I end up in Facebook jail, all 3 of my accounts get blocked.
Really?
So, yeah.
I didn't know that they could block your emails.
Yep.
I thought that was separate.
But here's the thing. I think it's because my account is restricted. How do they tie my Yahoo account? Okay, get this. I have a Kimberly Purvis, a Purvis Kimberly, and a Dawn Derringer. Derringer is my mom's maiden name. Okay? Dawn's my middle name. And that's the Yahoo account. I started that on one computer. Now, I don't know if the IP, I thought the IP address was for the actual, what you use. Or is the IP address your internet? I don't know. I'm technologically retarded. But yeah, and they will block all 3 of my accounts, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't see how they can do that for your emails because you need that for work and health. I got a lot of stuff on my emails.
Oh, no. They don't block my email. They block my account associated with that email for Facebook. That's what I'm saying. I have 2 separate Gmail. Yeah, but I have 2 separate Gmail accounts, right? I even put a different birth date on it. On my Dawn Derringer, different, not even the same birth year, and it gets banned. I have nothing on it. So I have no idea. I don't care, but it is what it is. I thought about doing this, and I sent it to Bobby. Hopefully he'll find it on his messenger. I thought it would be nice for us to do the pledge at the beginning of our show, and the national anthem at the end, or do it right after the pledge. Seeing as we are a patriotic group, I thought it would be really cool to do it. And I found two links on YouTube. One is for children, and it's a little boy, but you can share it because it's got something to do with for children, and a lot of schools use it. And I thought it'd be nice to have a child do it, to do the national, to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And then I found a video. We could just use the sound of them singing the national anthem. So I thought it'd be kind of cool. to use. Is Bobby still on the phone? On his call?
I think so.
Well, I can't end the show, but well, we only have 2 minutes. No.
You can't end
it. He's got – no, I can't end it. What happened is at 7 o'clock – well, at the end of the show, it'll just shut off. But we only have, like, 3 minutes left. Were we the only ones on tonight, the three of us?
I think so.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I was about to do your job.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no. It's okay, because I was about to do it for you, but you go right ahead. You only got
3 minutes. I really appreciate it, as usual, Kim. You know that.
Oh,
and Lorna, you always being here too.
Oh yeah, thank you.
I don't have a choice. I'm bribed.
No, you're voluntold. Yeah, a voluntold is what we use in the military.
Yep. You've been voluntold. But anyway, it was a fantastic show as usual. I know we're getting the numbers because I see it every day. And
oh, good.
just like to say, return tomorrow night, same time for our
Medical Tuesday.
Same bat channel. Yes, ma'am. For our Medical Tuesday show, always a good show. And I hope everybody has a good night. God bless America. God bless our veterans, troops, first responders, children, and God bless the Defender 7.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I stayed awake.
Yay!